Anyways. My God. Careful, Jesus.
I can't
Episode
leave
are you
that
on?
part in. My mom might actually watch this episode.
What episode are we on?
Seven?
Are you ready? Let's do this shit.
Episode two.
Wait, where's the camera?
Oh, seven. Take one and only. Hello, and thank you for listening to episode 207 of Got Creeps, your favorite podcast that always makes sure to give you your weekly dose of the weird, mysterious, and creepy. We are your hosts. I am John.
And I'm Leilani. That was so weird.
Yeah, I thought I would change it up a little bit this week. I still said the same thing.
Same words were said,
Same
yeah.
words.
Just changed it.
Don't forget, if you want to hear your story on Got Creeps, make sure you send it over to yougotcreeps@gmail.com or to any of our socials at yougotcreeps. Without further ado, let's get into this week's story. What's it about? We don't know yet.
What do you mean we don't know yet?
In the heart of the neighborhood, there stood a house unlike any other. Its weathered facade whispered tales of bygone eras, and within its walls, secrets lingered like shadows in the dusk. This is the house of Hildegard, a woman who departed this world in the shroud of 1996. For years after her passing, the house stood silent, a relic frozen in time. Yet, it wasn't until 22 years later that the echoes of Hildegard's presence stirred once more. A whisper carried through the air, uttered by the lips of innocence. My 4-year-old daughter spoke of Hildegard as she walked among us, a spectral friend from another realm. The story she shared sent shivers down my spine. According to her, they were friends long before she chose us, her earthly guardians. When pressed for details, she described Hildegard as an old lady with glasses, her hair a crown of silver, living in a distant era. Our home, Hildegard's sanctuary, remained untouched by time. It held relics of my own childhood, preserved like memories trapped in amber. Among the forgotten treasures, drawing from my youth lingered, echoing laughters from days gone by. Yet the house breathed with a life of its own. Shadows danced in the corners, casting doubt upon the solidity of reality. Handprints appeared upon windows, answers whispered to questions unasked. Even those who toiled within its walls spoke of apparitions of an old lady gazing upon the upstairs window. Thus began my descent into the realms of the paranormal, where coincidences tangled with destiny's threads. I guided my daughter to the cemetery where Hildegard slumbered beneath the earth. Without guidance, she found her way, drawn to the resting place of her spectral confidant. A twist of fate unveiled itself when my wife unwittingly spoke of our daughter's newfound friend. The name Hildegard sent tremors of recognition down my spine. It was a name from my past, intertwined with memories long buried. Driven by curiosity, I ventured into the depths of the abandoned abode. Through the dusty panes, I glimpsed a world untouched by the passage of time. And so I reached out to Hildegard's son, a relic of the past, now aged and weary. And in his voice, I heard the echoes of memory, the strains of a life left behind. He bestowed upon me the keys to the kingdom, an invitation to wander the halls of the forgotten. And in that moment, destiny beckoned, offering me a gift wrapped in the shroud of the unknown. The house, a vessel of memories, passed into my care, a beacon in the storm of uncertainty. Its walls whispered tales of lives intertwined, of dreams left unfulfilled. And as I tread upon its hallowed grounds, I feel the weight of history upon my shoulders. In the embrace of Hildegard's legacy, my family found solace, a refuge from the tumultuous world outside. Through her benevolence, my wife found liberation, freed from the shackles of labor's embrace. And in the twilight of our years, we embraced a new beginning, where time stood still and memories danced in flickering shadows. Thus, in the tapestry of fate, our lives intertwined with Hildegard's legacy, a testament to the bonds that transcend the veil of mortality. And so, we dwell into the House of Whispers, where the past and the present converge into a symphony of the unknown. So, I thought that this story was a little bit crazy, because this person, right?
Mm-hmm.
The person who submitted the story.
Wait, so this is a story from somebody that, like, just gave it to us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, and we have their permission to use their story and everything. And this, the story that I just used was, like, what's the word for it? It's like a, like, this story itself, you know, how it was written and how it was read was a narrative of the information that they gave me. So they themselves did not write what I just read.
Mm-hmm.
This was kind of like I made it into a story, you know? But, you know, they gave me all the information for the story and everything, so I kind of just used that to make like a story that we can use for the beginning of the episode. So now that we can actually get into it, we can kind of talk about the actual notes that they gave me. And before we get into that, I highly, highly, highly recommend you guys watch this episode over on our YouTube channel, because there are going to be a lot of visuals that you're going to want to see for this episode. And Lonnie has no idea about any of this. She's like completely in the dark about this story and like everything. I wanted to keep it a secret.
He wouldn't tell me anything about what we're all about to experience until like right now.
Right.
I mean, I knew kind of the idea.
Mm-hmm.
But
so this story basically is about the person who submitted the story. They knew of this old woman from their childhood, right? Mm-hmm. Named Hildegard. And they knew that this woman lived in this town. They had a close relationship with this woman. His mother was friends with her because Hildegard's husband had passed away, right?
Okay.
So, you know, they were family friends.
She was friends with her because her husband passed away?
Well, they became friends after her husband passed away. That's not the reason why they became friends.
I was like,
they became friends after her husband passed away.
Odd dynamic. This is more normal. But you threw me for a loop there.
He knew this person from his past, right? And, you know, years later, he has a daughter. And the daughter starts having an imaginary friend that she just plays with, interacts with, mm-hmm. you know, just a normal imaginary friend. Nothing malicious about it, right?
Right.
Time goes on, and they ask the daughter, like, "Oh, what's the name of your imaginary friend?" And the daughter's like, "Oh, her name is Hildegard." And
chills.
Right, and that's exactly what happened to him. Like, he was like, "What? What did you say? Like, how did you hear that name?" She was like, "She told me," and. One of the craziest things was when her mom took her to the cemetery where Hildegard was buried,
mm-hmm.
the daughter found where Hildegard was buried without needing to be led to it. Like, went straight there.
Well, I'm sure she was led by Hildegard.
Right. But, you know, led by anybody that we could see, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, crazy, crazy stuff. I mean,
us being able to see or not, like, doesn't really change the fact that that's the possibility.
Right, right, right. So like I said, there's going to be a lot of visuals in this episode. So, you know, if you're watching on YouTube, you'll see them right here. If you're not,
cute house.
We are looking at the house where Hildegard actually lived. You know, it's obviously been some years since this house was, like, maintained or anything. This house looks like it's been abandoned for a while.
It's honestly, like, cottagecore vibes.
Right. Cottagecore vibes, like, middle of the woods vibes. Yeah, I don't know exactly.
In the middle of the woods. It's in, like, a remote area, but, like, I'm fucking with this.
Yeah. I don't know exactly where it's at. But, you know, very woodsy.
Yeah.
And then we also have pictures of, like, just the inside of the house. It does kind of look a little creepy, if you ask me.
I was getting chills.
I guess this is, like, during the remodeling and the demolition. I guess they redid the entire house when they purchased it, and oh wow, this is the house now.
Nice.
It's very cute. Nice. Yeah. Oh, okay, so this is, like, kind of the same area.
Wow.
Wow,
it's a big difference.
I'm gonna double check and make sure that it's okay that we use
this photo?
But yeah, I'm going to double check and make sure that it's okay that we use this photo, but hopefully it is, because it's a picture of the person's daughter with Hildegard. If not, you obviously won't be seeing it. But
what a powerful, like, photo.
Right. And, like, you feel something when you see it. Yeah. It's very cool. Very cool to see.
The person who gave you this story,
mm-hmm.
this is, like, their notes, right?
Mm-hmm.
These this person
everything
said,
right here, uh-huh. This is from what they said to me.
Oh my god. And, like, these are photos that, like...
like, they sent to me, yeah.
This person can tell a story
mm-hmm.
with just photos, too.
Mm-hmm. And they said that there's still activity in the house from time to time, like stuff falling over, lights flickering. Can definitely feel like there's more people in the house than there really is. But one could be my mom. I made a Ouija board for her remains. Huh.
What's up top? This is a different Ouija board.
That's cool. Whoa.
That's your birthday.
That's my birthday. The day that she passed is my birthday. That's crazy.
That's also, is that 1922?
No, honey. It's 2022.
Okay, good.
What?
I don't know. I was honestly just looking at the end, like the goodbye, where your birthday was, the death date, but I didn't use context clues.
Yeah, so, I mean, and reading through, too, it seemed like they had, like, a really good relationship with Hildegard. He said that he would bring her mail, he would come over and mow her lawn, shovel the snow.
As he was, in his child years.
Yeah.
Like, the...
It seemed like it, yeah.
The OG.
Me and my dad would mow her lawn, shovel her snow. I always loved bringing her mail. Tell me stories about the olden day and feed me cookies, like...
Okay, yeah, this is, like,
OG yeah.
Hildegard. This is not, like... imaginary friend ghost Hildegard.
Yeah. No, this is his, yeah. Like, the Hildegard that he knew.
Cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, very, very, very crazy story. I think that's so insane that, like, he may have, like, there's definitely a chance that he mentioned her before, because it did seem like they had, like, a good relationship, right?
Right.
However, I don't think that that's enough for, like, a kid to base their imaginary friend off of.
Not just base, like, see all of, like, Hildegard.
Right, right.
So.
Is there anything you wanted to go back to?
Yeah. Okay, so this picture, like we said, we may not be able to, we may not be able to show it, but, like, that's a crazy part. Like, okay, not only can this kid see your long, is it, like, is it your mom's long-lost friend?
Like, yeah, like, your family friend.
Right, like, somebody that, like, you grew up with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your daughter can see.
And kids already can see.
Yeah, but, like, everything to a T, and that's her imaginary friend. Like, no, you just have a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
You just can see and are friends with a ghost.
Yeah. And, I mean, she seems chill.
Yeah.
She seems really nice.
Right. But it's still crazy because, like, at that point, parents... Not at that point, because there's so many people who still don't believe it. But they're just like, ghosts are real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are still people who would be like, oh, it's just an imaginary friend. Like, and that, too, is, like, odd. But, like, that is, I feel like that is proof that we need to figure out how to communicate as proof.
Right. Because, like, we already know that, like, animals are more in tuned to see and sense, like, spirits and things like that.
Yeah.
We know that children are more in tuned to see spirits and things like that. And we kind of, like, I think that we really need to figure out why, like, on a, like, science-y level. Because if we can figure out why on a science-y level, then we're that much closer to actually getting proof that paranormal things exist.
Right.
And, like, I am a firm believer that, like, paranormal things and, like, magic and all that stuff is just things that we can't explain with science yet.
Yeah.
I think that things can be explained with science eventually, but I think that we just can't explain them yet. I think that there is a perfectly rational explanation for things like ghosts and stuff. We just don't have the explanation or the tools to explain it yet.
Yeah, but it's also, like, I don't know, if you just don't believe it, then you don't believe it. Weird, because it's true, but...
Weird, because it's true.
But I guess, like, everybody deserves an opinion. Could be the wrong one.
Well.
That is true.
On
this.
Another thing that I thought was crazy is, like, they said that their daughter said that she chose them. Did you see that part?
Yeah.
Do you remember that part? Like, she chose them. And that kind of opens up, like, a whole different can of worms. It's like, what's before we're born? Like, what's that movie with the jazz guy?
Soul.
Yes. Like, is that a thing?
I don't know. Like, I kind of like that idea.
I like that idea.
It really, like, making... Okay, hold on. Watching that movie, watching Soul... made me feel, like, bliss. I'm like, that's really cute. Like, I enjoy that idea of, like, births and rebirths, like, into the world.
Mm-hmm.
Into the universe.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, like, that kind of just goes into, you know, the whole idea of, like, things can't be destroyed or... What is that whole thing?
I don't know. Like, nothing can be destroyed.
Like, matter can't be, like, created or, like, destroyed. It's all, like, level. Recycled or some right. shit like that.
Nothing ever really, like, disappears. It just starts anew.
Right. But there's a saying, though.
I don't know what the saying is. I'm just
like... Right. Somebody out there is screaming at us right now. They're screaming at their phone like, you idiot. It's blah, 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 blah. I can't tell you what it is right now. My mind is a blank right now. But anyways, I wholeheartedly believe that. Like, because, like, I don't, were we talking about this on the podcast last time? But I know that I was talking with you about it. It's like, we are not just the however many years we were alive for,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, us ourselves, we are not just the 27 years that we were alive for. Like, right. We are a combination and a compilation of our entire family lineage, the good, the bad, the ugly, like, mm-hmm. mentally, physically, like, we are a combination and this crazy culmination of, you know, family lineage, right? And, like, we have that inside of us.
Right.
So, like there,
knowledge.
Right. So there is that kind of idea that, like, nothing is ever, like, created or destroyed. Everything is kind of just recycled, you know? And so it's really crazy to think that something like this situation exists where, like, you have this person who is just like, oh yeah, I remember her because, like, I knew her before.
Mm-hmm.
Before I came down here and chose you guys as my parents. That's crazy. That's a crazy thing. That's a crazy situation to be a part of.
That it is. I was thinking about, because on one of the podcasts that I, or one of the podcasts, on the other podcast that I listen to that isn't ours, Kristen was talking about how she believes, like, kind of like soul, you know, where, can you hear me?
Yeah, just get closer.
You can
pull it, you can move it,
oh,
too.
Nice.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Okay. Oh, throw the desk around.
I'll try not to.
It's not a fucking TLC match. Relax.
Oh, how I wish. So Kristen was talking about how she believes when you die, you have a certain amount of lives, right? Like, it could be, I don't know, like hundreds, thousands. But when you die, you kind of get to restart, mm-hmm. and do something else. And then just kind of, you're kind of on the same thread, but you're just, like, deviating.
Right.
But you still kind of keep your you, your characteristics, just in a different life. And, or, like, parts of them, and you, like, gain some, lose some on the way. But then there is a certain year that you're just like, oh, I'm done. And then you don't get recycled back into the earth to live another life.
Hmm.
Like, I kind of really resonate with that.
That's a neat way of thinking about things. Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I really liked it. So, I think it was a completely different thought as yours, but that's what I was thinking about with where you were going.
Mm-hmm.
This is scary.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of wanted to bring it back to that picture. Because there's also this picture. So, I mean, like, these are both, like, very eerie-looking pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, the picture that I just pulled up on my phone, hopefully I can put it on the screen, didn't want to move over when I was trying to copy it over to Google Docs, so I don't know. Maybe it's haunted. Maybe I just fucked my phone and my iPad.
Maybe it's haunted.
So, but you know what? If Hildegard wants to come and visit us, she seems like a nice lady.
She does seem like a nice lady. She seems like she's just hanging around.
Yeah. She's just like, hey.
It'd be so cool if she made cookies. Like,
watch us, like, walk out there and it smells like cookies.
I would freak out because, like, are there cookies?
I mean, there are. We have some cookies out there.
Yeah, but not, like, homemade.
But not, like homemade cookies.
Freshly baked cookies.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. If I walk out there and there's, like, a chocolate chip cookie, Hildegard, you were my best friend.
I completely forgot what I wanted to say about this, but I love, like, abandoned houses and, like, run-down things. Like, I had to do, like, a photo project in high school, and that was one of my favorite things to take pictures of. It's, like,
I mean,
run-down things.
We can get into your story in, like, an abandoned house. So, that's a nice little segue
We definitely don't have the time to get
not
into
for
it
right
now.
No, and, like,
we're going to be here. That's a whole nother day.
That could be an episode. And that will be an episode of itself.
Yeah. What a crazy time. I don't really know what else to talk about.
What a crazy time. But, like, you were talking about this. Why did you want to bring these two back up?
I don't really know.
There was something?
They were just something. They just, like, seemed eerie to me.
You just wanted to get a little look again?
Yeah. And, like, I'm very interested to know about, like, some of the other presences and people that they feel and sense in the house.
Is it just Hildegard?
No, because they said that there's like more spirits and stuff and more presences that they felt.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was really cool because, like, you know, this is exactly what they said. I fully believe that I was meant to have this house and everything in it. I fully believe Hildegard didn't want to see her house and possessions fall into a pile of garbage. She had two sons, one died probably 15 years ago, at least now, and other one I said lives in Maryland, and I'm the only person in the area that still had a personal connection to the house and shit in it, and she fully wanted me to have it. So that's really crazy how, like, it kind of just came back around full circle and just, like, was given to him. And from what he said, he pretty much got it for, like, dirt cheap, too.
Love a full circle moment.
Yeah.
Kind of a happy ending.
Yeah, kind of a happy ending, and it's, like, very different than most of the stories that we cover.
I don't even think it's like a happy ending. It's just like a happy happening.
Yeah, it's just like a feel-good ending.
But it's like still, it's actively happening.
That's true.
So we get to just kind of live with this and, like, maybe check in.
Yeah, I would love to do, like, a follow-up episode on Hildegard and the happenings with Hildegard and stuff like that.
Hilda's happenings.
So, I mean, like, I hope that this listener stays in contact with us, and we can do a follow-up. I think we're done with Hildegard.
I don't know. Hildegard's, like,
I don't really have anything else to add about Hildegard.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Ugh. Okay. So, I think with the theme of the episode, our creep pick of the week is a really good one that we just recently found.
Yeah.
This week's creep pick is Daniel Isn't Real, and we are going to dive into the darkest corners of cinema to bring you the perfect dose of horror for your viewing pleasure. Prepare to be gripped by this chilling tale of friendship, betrayal, and the horrors that lurk within the human psyche. It all begins with Luke, a shy and troubled boy who witnesses a traumatic event at a neighborhood coffee shop. Enter Daniel, the enigmatic friend who seems to offer Luke solace in the midst of his turmoil. But as their bond deepens, Luke soon discovers that Daniel may not be who he appears. As Luke grapples with his sanity and struggles to free himself from Daniel's grip, the film delves into themes of identity, mental illness, and the blurred lines between reality and fantasy. As the film hurtles towards its shocking conclusion, viewers are left breathless, grappling with the haunting realization that some demons can never be truly banished. So So if you're in the mood for a psychological thriller that will leave you questioning your own perceptions of reality, look no further than Daniel Isn't Real. Just be prepared to confront the darkness that lies within.
That movie was nuts.
I enjoyed that movie thoroughly.
It was a new concept.
Yeah.
I mean, it was something that I haven't seen.
Yeah, that if it's been out there, like if other things that are like this is out there, haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
So this was like my introduction.
Yeah. Like, it was a very cool thing to see
portrayed.
Yeah, like an adult with an imaginary friend.
Right. That follows him.
That follows him. And, like, makes him do fucked up things.
Let's not get too, like, spoily. But.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's kind of like.
What a good movie.
No. It's not like at all.
You just don't. You have to watch it.
I was gonna say it's kind of like Wilfred. If you've never seen Wilfred, Wilfred is a great show.
It's but it's not.
It's not like Wilfred.
Not at all. Actually.
I just recently saw an episode of Hot Ones with Elijah Wood in it, and so.
Oh, that'd be cool to watch.
I want to do a Hot Ones episode.
I Got Creeps Hot Ones.
Yeah, yeah. I think that that would be super fun.
Well, I think if we do it, it's something that, like, we have to hit a certain, like, milestone for us.
Yeah, true.
Like, because I feel like that would be so much fun, and that would kind of be like a celebration.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure, for sure. But back to Daniel.
Oh, my goodness.
Our godson's name is Daniel. Our Shout out Daniel.
Is, okay, well.
And like, they're so much closer.
This Daniel, probably not like.
This Daniel, nothing like our godson Daniel.
Not our Daniel.
Not our Daniel.
But this one, wow. And just
like. Did you say it was like Arnold Schwarzenegger's son?
Yeah, too? It is. Daniel is.
Yeah, the actor who plays Daniel is Arnold Schwarzenegger's son.
Not our godson.
Yeah, my godson's dad? Arnold Schwarzenegger.
We gotta love like that. That. Guy. We gotta like that.
I love that guy.
That's just like the father of our godson.
No, no relation to us, but he's the father of our godson.
We were chosen to be the godparents of his son. Like, the honor that we have.
What is happening? This is the second time we've recorded at night, and like, I don't know.
We're delirious.
Yeah, I'm tired. It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
Is it? Yeah. Oh my God. So, anyways.
Lucas, watch the movie.
Lucas, it just got fucked up. And like.
Is that the name of the other guy?
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of the main character. I only know Daniel.
You can argue that Daniel is the main character. So.
I mean, his name is in the title.
He is the, what is that called? Like the
antagonist?
Namesake?
No.
Well,
sure.
That's what I was thinking. Sure. But yes, he is an antagonist. Also, like, the, the girl that, like, Daniel was with is also an antagonist, just in her own way. Because, you know, like, that caused, like, an explosion. You don't remember the movie?
Oh! Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good, like, spoiler. It's like, when it makes you, like, kind of want to watch what they're talking about.
Right.
Okay, okay. Are we done with Daniel?
I think we're okay with Daniel now.
All right.
We're done We can put Daniel off this to the side for now.
Off to the side, because you gotta watch.
Because you don't tell Daniel to go away.
Oh, you do not. Word to the wise. So, I think we can get on to our next segment, right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
One of my favorites.
You do love the Cryptid of the Week.
Yeah. It's my favorite.
It is. It is. For a reason. I don't know what yours is, but there's obviously a reason. So, today we're shining a spotlight on our Cryptid of the Week, the Fresno Nightcrawler. Standing at around 1.5 meters tall, with disproportionately long legs and a small upper body, the Nightcrawler's distinctive features include its lack of discernible arms and webbing connecting its knees to its torso. Its stilt-like feet and odd gait contribute to its otherworldly presence. The Fresno Nightcrawler, also known as the Fresno Alien, has made two enigmatic appearances, one in Fresno, California, and another in Yosemite National Park. Both times, it's been caught on video, adding to its mystique. Interestingly, a sighting in Poland adds to its international allure, while a more recent one in Billings, Montana, on April 25th, 2020. This keeps the legend alive. One particularly compelling encounter comes from a six-year-old former Marine and his wife, who witnessed a seven-foot-tall, slender, gray creature in Carmel, Ohio. Strange? Unusual?
Weird.
That caught me so off guard. Jesus Christ. I wasn't expecting much in that moment. But I wasn't expecting that. Like, I didn't have very many ideas of how I was going to experience that. But that wasn't in the cards. It wasn't even an option.
3 hours later.
You know what's funnier?
What?
Is that it's probably not even that funny.
I have to redo that. One particularly compelling encounter comes from a 60-year-old...
Much, much, much later.
One particularly compelling encounter comes from a 60-year-old former Marine and his wife, who witnessed a 7-foot-tall, slender, gray creature in Carmel, Ohio. Describing its unusual movement and appearance, the witness's account adds to the lore surrounding this elusive being. The Fresno Nightcrawler is often associated with the Carmel area creature, a similarly thin, armless humanoid seen in Ohio. With sightings also reported in Yosemite and Poland, this cryptid continues to capture imaginations worldwide. Featured on Sci-Fi's Fact or Faked Paranormal Files, where it was deemed unexplainable, the Fresno Nightcrawler has earned its place as both a captivating urban legend and a beloved addition to pop culture. Its influence even extends to fan-made creations like the Fresnor on the Cryptid Island in My Singing Monsters. So that is the Fresno Nightcrawler, or the Fresno Alien.
I love this thing.
Yeah, were you trying to look up what it
looked
like?
No, I saw it. I saw it.
Yeah.
I love this thing.
Yeah, kind of like Among Us.
It's fucking stupid looking and weird and just legs.
Legs. Legs for days.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Oh my God. But
I
like,
love it.
What a sight.
Yeah.
What
I want
sight.
One.
Honestly, if they were like a little bit smaller, I'd like.
But like, imagine these things as like 10 feet tall. That's fucking scary.
Terrifying.
That's fucking scary.
Terrifying.
Like, but like, I'm imagining these things as like this tall.
Yeah. Oh my god. You don't literally
like this tall.
Among Us.
Not from the table.
No, no, no. But like from ground.
From the ground. From yeah. ground. From ground to hand. Ground hand.
From ground.
From ground hand. From ground hand. This. Fresno.
Yeah.
This night. Ground hand. Night crawl.
Crawl night. Up down.
We run, need to run, stop run. Recording at night.
Okay.
But I like that, you know, it seems to be traveling around America.
Not
and
yet.
Then fucking Poland. And Poland.
Okay. Hi, Poland.
What's up, Poland?
Welcome to the convo.
Anybody listening from Poland, if you are, say Poland.
Say Poland. Okay, so, wow. This looks...
So, wow.
This looks like not as many... Okay, not as many sightings.
Okay.
But also kind of... Good, because that sounds terrifying.
Yeah.
This sounds like it looks like it's a void.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, imagine like a white no face.
Yeah. Creepy. It's creepy.
Yeah.
But
I want one.
Kind of, yeah.
Like, it's dumb looking.
Dumb, but could also be terrifying.
Like, yeah. No, like, I see why it could be terrifying based off of this description.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, from the pictures that I saw, it looks stupid.
It kind of does.
But, like, okay, this picture, I'm going to save this picture specifically.
Ooh. That's the Fresno Nightcrawler. Oh shit, I know who that is. But like...
but like these ones. Yeah. The ones where they're just wearing MC Hammer pants.
Right. Like, oh my god, actual pants.
Look, jeans!
Jeans and boots.
Look at these boots!
Oh, wow. Okay. So, can we get into a conversation, like, really, really quick? But, like, what cryptid? And I kind of want this to be, like, a running question that we just refer back to.
Okay.
And maybe, like, with everybody listening and watching, like, think about this as we go on. What cryptid would you want to have as your pet if you could domesticate a cryptid?
Hmm.
Not domesticate enough where it, like, doesn't do its thing, but, like... To have just, like, as a pet. Like, hang out. You don't have to think about, like... This doesn't have to be your final thought, is what I'm saying. It could continue to change.
Okay. I think... As of right now...
Mm-hmm.
First, just throwing it out there. Just because we've talked about it, I'm gonna go the Dewayo.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And is it, like, How to Train Your... Okay, so, like, the way that you're thinking about this, too, is this, like, How to Train Your Dragon, like, kind of...
No, I'm using it for evil.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm causing terror everywhere.
Ruckus.
Yeah.
Causing a mm-hmm. whole bunch of fucking ruckus.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah.
Right now... I want to go with Oscar.
Oscar! The turtle!
Yeah, I want to go with Oscar.
I forgot about Oscar. That's a good pick.
Yeah.
That's a good pick. He seems like a chill guy. He seems like the kind of guy that just, like, smokes weed and just, like, vibes all day.
Hangs out.
Like, on a beach.
He's not on a beach, though. But Oscar's that dude. I really like Oscar. Oscar would be my domesticated cryptid pet.
That's a good answer.
Thanks. I like the Dwayo. I like the Dwayo for you, honestly.
Mm-hmm. I think the Dwayo and I could cause some mayhem.
Oh, I'm absolutely positive on that.
Yeah.
But
like, if that's our intention, we win.
We're just lucky we're not at that stage in life. So, we personally, we're not at that stage of life. So, I want everybody to kind of like have that as well. So, maybe one comment could be like one comment, I guess, question could be just put what your cryptid pet would be right now.
Yeah.
And then you can just continue to add on if you want, if it's changed.
Yeah. Yeah. Like every episode, just be like, oh no, this is my pet guy.
My pet guy. This
my is pet dude.
This is where I'm going with my pet. On to the next segment, though. We are doing a This Day in History. Today on This Day in History, we are peering into the past to uncover the harrowing events of March 11th, 1864. Prepare yourselves for the tale of the Great Sheffield Flood, also known as the Great Inundation. Picture this. Dale Dyke Reservoir, a colossal construction just 8 miles northwest of Sheffield, England. It was intended to quench the thirst of the skyrocketing steel industry in the region. But fate had other plans. The dam, standing 100 feet tall and stretching 500 feet wide, seemed like a marvel of engineering until that fateful night. As the clock struck midnight, a storm unleashed its fury upon the land, and the dam could not withstand any longer. With a deafening roar, the dam gave way, unleashing a monstrous torrent of water, 650 million gallons of it, to be exact, racing through the valley like a wrathful beast. The Locksley Valley, with its bustling mills and workshops, stood in the path of destruction. The flood showed no mercy as it obliterated everything in its wake. Homes, businesses, and lives. Over 4,000 houses were submerged beneath the icy grip of the floodwaters. The toll of devastation was staggering, 240 reported deaths, although the number may not be truly known. The horror didn't end there. The aftermath of its disaster left a scar on the landscape and the hearts of those who survived. Yet, amidst the tragedy, a glimmer of hope emerged. In the wake of the Great Sheffield Flood, Parliament took action. A special act was passed, providing compensation amounting to £273,988, a monumental sum at the time, and that is equivalent to $384,663. So, hefty amount. But no amount of money could ever fully heal the scars left behind by the Great Sheffield Flood. And let's not forget that this is not just any disaster. No, this was the largest man-made catastrophe to befall England. A chilling reminder of the amazing power of nature and the fragility of human endeavors. So as we reflect on this dark chapter in history, let us not only remember the lives lost, but also honor the resilience of those who rose from the depths of despair. Huge flood.
Big flood.
Long story short, real big flood.
Big flood. Big flood happened. Big flood, people die.
Spark notes that bitch.
Where the fuck was Noah when you needed him?
I mean, this was a real long time ago, but probably still, like, long ago.
Still dead?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck. Well, could have used him.
Honestly,
it's fucked up.
That is really fucked up.
It's okay. It happened a long time ago. It doesn't matter anymore.
But that's why we are learning about it. That's what I'm hoping comes from this. Not for not only for you guys, but for us as well. Because there's so many things that happened in the world that you're just like never even knew about.
Right. That's it's crazy because like we do this and originally that wasn't the intention of this segment. Originally the intention of the segment was to just talk about something. But what I'm realizing from it is like things happen every single day.
Yeah.
That we don't know about.
I like that you're like just realizing this.
Well, like it's always something that I've known, it's never been something that I like actively thought about.
Right.
Like it makes sense that like things happen every day, mm-hmm. but like it wasn't something that I like actively thought about. Like tragedies like this.
True.
Like there's
and like they are
a random Tuesday.
Right, and they're called like tragedies because it's not like a foreseen event.
Yeah, like, you can't plan for it.
No, it's fucking terrible when something like this happens. Not even just like this, but something tragic happens.
Yeah, yeah. And it sucks.
Yeah, but kind of like that doing this day in history teaches me something.
Yeah, really interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I like historical stuff. I like facts and random little tidbits of information.
I do too.
I don't know. My sisters hate it. My sisters get so bored when I just go off on random tangents about, like, you know, the why the flavoring for banana tastes drastically different from regular bananas.
Oh my god, this is one of my favorite fruit facts.
it's because like the flavoring that they based off of,
right? Artificial flavoring of banana,
right? Like banana Laffy Taffys and stuff, right. Like that flavor is based off of a species of banana that just doesn't exist anymore. It's extinct.
But we still have that flavor.
So they're like, imagine how crazy it would be if there was a banana that tasted like that.
Yeah.
I'd eat bananas all the time.
Oh my god, it's such a good flavor.
It's a good flavor. I like it. I love banana Laffy Taffys. If you don't,
I do too.
You're dumb.
You're wrong.
I know that is a very polarizing topic. Taffys are fire.
That's the right answer.
Right. Also, favorite jelly bean.
The one with like the different colors on it.
The Tutti Frutti?
Yeah.
Gross.
Wait. It's one of my favorites, but I don't know if it's my favorite.
There's one right answer.
The cotton candy one?
Wrong.
What's yours?
Buttered popcorn.
I don't mind it. That but is it's not my favorite.
The best Jelly Belly. Hands down. And if you disagree with me, fight me.
I should be in this.
Fight her.
I should be. I don't even know what, like, I don't completely.
I'm just gonna throw her at you.
Understand, like, the reason that I would have to fight for this, but, like, I want to because I kind of just want to get in fight. So, like, fight. Let's fight.
Yeah.
Okay, so. Big flood. Big flood. I think that's enough. I think we should just. I think we should just let the, like, because they did repair it. And, like, it's not like that it didn't happen, but it's like, okay, at least you're building it up from, like, tragedy to just prosperity. Like, you can always, like, begin again.
True. That is very true. If we have learned anything in the past few years.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta fucking restart.
Honestly.
Oh, man.
Resilient as fuck. And you don't even know what the half of it.
Oh, anyways. Before we end the episode, we have a question of the week that we forgot to do last week. So, true crime buffs and paranormal enthusiasts, if you can explore the depths of any conspiracy theory or urban legend, which would you choose to unravel? let us know your thoughts.
Which could you choose?
Which would you choose?
Which would you choose?
You know, I love the simulation theory, mm-hmm. backrooms theory,
I love Mandela effect. Oh my god, that was gonna be my next one, but like you simulation know, theory.
So good.
And just like so many things, because I have a lot of, like, I just like a lot of theories on a lot of things.
Right. And like things with like the simulation theory, they branch off into so many different theories.
Which is just why I believe them. Mm-hmm. I just know that they're true.
Mm-hmm. Like you have the Hollow Earth theory.
Oh my god, you know? We just did.
So good.
That was one of our like last episodes on season one that we recorded.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Also, season one's gone, guys. Tried to tell you.
Could have had it.
But season part of one is no longer on YouTube. No longer available on any of the streaming platforms.
Wow, it is gone for good.
Gone. Not gone for good.
Well,
we might bring him back. We might bring like parts of him back. But yeah. So that is the question of the week. Where can they find you?
You guys can find me on Instagram at Leilani May Raimundo and on Facebook. Just search up Leilani Gliberte. I really tried not to say at, and I didn't, but I needed to tell you about it. So that is where you can find me. Where can they find you?
You can find me over on Instagram and X over at John_Raimundo. You can find me on Facebook at my name, Jonathan Raimundo. You can find us over on Instagram and Twitter. Not really active on X. I said the T word. But you can follow us over there at Got Creeps.
So another late night episode. Thank you guys for making it all the way to the end. Got a little crazy. But thank you again for listening to the 7th episode of Got Creeps. Don't forget to like the video, like the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share with your friends so we can reach more people who love the weird, mysterious, and creepy. We will be back next week with your weekly dose of the creeps.
Buh-bye.
Bye.